Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I'm having a great day. I hope you are too. It's kind of interesting. We're heading into May, and it is still snowing throughout some of the Rocky Mountain states, as well as some of the central flyover states. They're all flyover states, right? Isn't that correct? Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that deals with the tangible solutions to getting the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. There's no other way, my friends. The only way we are going to get the federal government to stop spending your tax dollars on things they have no authority to do is by getting the states to demand for Republic Review, audit the Constitution, and actually come together in deciding what to do about this little problem they have called the federal government and what they need to do to get them back into alliance. Or I should say alignment to the Constitution. There you go. Anyway, if you happen to be out and about and you do not have access to your streaming or whatever the source is, you can always call the listen number. It's 605-562-4209. Now, I also want to give you a heads up. On Friday, we're going to cover some news that you will not hear on your local news, your national news, or anything of the kind. And these things should concern you, because if we're covering it, if I'm telling you about these things, and I'll just give you some insight, some of it is about the 5G. Why is it that Fox News or any of these other news agencies or local news agencies is not exposing this type of threat to your health and to our environment? Why? Why is it that even the... And you know what? I think we're going to find that there are going to become common alliances between those that are really concerned about the environment as well as the conservatives who are concerned about our health and our quality of life. Anyway, but today we're going to get into some marketing on things that hopefully will motivate you. And as a matter of fact, most all of these things that are going on should be motivating you. I mean, we're witnessing the carnage of collisions, of things that should not be occurring. We should not be seeing this type of stuff happening, or I should say, we should be seeing some of this stuff, because I'm going to get into some stuff that you should be seeing, but the fact that they're fighting it and actually obfuscating it should be equally concerning. You know, good is evil and evil is good. That's where we are. That's the position we are in today. And so let me just kind of jump forward here a little bit and let you know that we need your help, if you didn't know. And the other thing is that if you want help, if you can help, if you think you have a little bit of bandwidth, it doesn't take much time. All you got to do is send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That is one way. You just tell us what you can do, what you've got, what you'd like to do, or what have you, and we'll get back with you and let you know how we can help you help. We also have the coffee, Red State Coffee. Go get yourself some coffee. The link to that is on our Red State podcast page, I believe. Actually, let me pull it up, because it's been a while since we put it up there. And I want you to be able to go get your Joe on. And so here we go. Red State Coffee right there on the home page. So you can just click on that link, and that should send you straight to the Red State Coffee, whole bean or ground, and go get you some. I mean, what American patriot other than those that don't drink coffee, don't drink coffee. I mean, it seems like almost every meeting I go to, there are usually pots and pots of coffee. Why is it that you're not making Red State coffee? Maybe that's the elixir that you need to get fired up in getting involved and moving forward with this agenda of saving our Constitution. What else would we want to be doing anyway? Why is it that we are even concerned with what's going on? It's because we see the threat. So if you want to support this show, you want to support the effort, go get yourself some Red State coffee. Again, it comes in both grind and whole bean. We also have what we call the crowdfunding campaign out there. It's GoFundMe. It's on the GoFundMe page, and it's right there on the homepage as well. You can just click on the link. That will take you to the campaign. What we're looking to do is we're looking to get your support in our travel and the travel costs. I will be traveling to Wyoming this Friday, which is why we're going to be airing this special on some of the things that you're not hearing about in the news that should really be alarming to you and things that you need to get involved in. As you know, I've also been telling you about Red State Expo, right? Red State Expo is just around the corner. It's June 7th, 8th, and 9th, almost a month away. It's in Hartford, Connecticut. Get your Red Pill Expo tickets. I would highly recommend the VIP access just so you can actually see and actually linger with and talk. I mean, it is a great networking opportunity. And there are so many patriots in this general vicinity. It kind of reminds me, you know, people look at Wyoming and then they look at California and they say, well, you know, how many patriots are out there in Wyoming, or I should say in California? And most people don't know that you will find that in Riverside County, there are probably more patriots in Riverside County, hardcore constitutionalists, than you would find in Wyoming and the Dakotas combined. I mean, that's because it's such a high concentration of people, just like Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, Hartford, Connecticut is right there by New York, all sorts of big cities. And even though they may be blue states, there still is a large or high concentration of good conservatives. So get out there, get to this Red Pill Expo. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event that you will want to become a part of. If you haven't heard the Ed Griffin interview that we had with him about a week, 2 weeks ago, it's worth listening to again. Check out our podcast on Reclaiming the Republic Red State Talk Radio podcast page. Anyway, let me kind of also jump towards the thanking you. I really do appreciate those of you who are listening, and we really appreciate the spike that we've been seeing in the listenership and our numbers and so forth. Please continue as we continue to get this message out. It would be great to see a spike in listening to get up and actually bump some of these top folks out. You want to send a message, get people to at least tune in. And we'll try to give you reasons almost every day. We actually do try to give you reasons because every day we talk about the importance in holding the federal government in compliance. So thank you for tuning in. And as I always do, there is no sign of news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. We're going to talk about some good news that Trump is doing, but it is not disbanding the Department of Education, which is debasing our culture and our republic. It's not disbanding any of its unconstitutional powers that it is exercising to this day. And so what we need to do is we need to get into the whole context of Republic Review and getting people involved in getting your state legislatures to stand up. Because if you didn't understand the whole principle, our sovereigns are those who write the laws for us. They can wipe away laws. They can create laws. They are the sovereigns who say, you can do this, you can't do this. There is a different branch. Usually it's the executive that actually enforces those laws. And there's a different branch called the judiciary that actually sits over the judgment of those people who are breaking those laws. That's how our government works. So the sovereigns are those who create the laws, and the sovereigns are the state legislatures or Congress in the capacity that they have been delegated these powers. When it comes to the Constitution and enforcing the Constitution, it is the sovereigns of the states, the state legislators, who are responsible to ensure that the Constitution is being abided by. That is why Jefferson and Madison went to the sovereigns of Kentucky and Virginia in 1798. They didn't go to the governors. They didn't go to the judges. They went to the state sovereigns to say, hey, did you know that your compact is being violated? And they explained what they needed to do, and thus they actually generated the Kentucky resolutions as well as the Virginia resolutions. So that's why we need to get informed, get involved, and understand that our focus shouldn't be in Washington, D.C. and trying to get the government to comply. We need to be in your state capital and getting your sovereigns to demand that they force the federal government into compliance. They have the power to do this. So with that, I'm literally out of time, but let me just also remind you that Constitution Day is coming up. And so please make sure that you start trying to support something, work with somebody to doing something to help highlight the Constitution in your local area. And with that, we will be right back after a couple of promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so today, let me kind of catch you up on those matters that are going nowhere. And hopefully these matters will actually, like I said before, motivate you into acting sooner rather than later. I am praying that this is the year that you actually put your foot down and take action, because the complacency and apathy that is abounding will destroy us. Remember the old adage, it only takes good men to do nothing for evil to succeed. And so, again, let's get this thing going once and for all, because I would rather you get involved sooner rather than later, because if it's later, then basically it'll probably be too late to get involved. Now, one of the things that I wanted to kind of comment on, because this is brand new in the news, but I've talked about this before. We've talked about Venezuela, what the heck's been going on down there. And we've also reported that Russia has been pumping troops and weapons into Venezuela. Well, I think that they finally reached the point where they believe they have all of the support and infrastructure with the Russian supplements intact so that they can start moving forward and using the Russian thug tactics. So that's why we're seeing them actually starting to use tyrannical and oppressive actions running. If you haven't seen the video, it's out there. Fox News is probably playing it to death, that they've got armored personnel carrier literally running over people in the streets. There's no doubt in my mind, and Trump has already stated this, that he will support. But I'm telling you that this will likely lead us into some military action. I want you to understand that you're going to hear supposedly these libertarian pacifists that believe we should do nothing. I am here to tell you that we have an obligation that has been established into the bedrock of this nation that is in harmony with the Constitution, and it is called the Monroe Doctrine. Remember, it was Monroe that said and sent this shot out to everybody in the world. This hemisphere is off limits for Europe, Asia, and any other continent that wants to be meddling in these contents. Our continents, I'm sorry, in the North and South American continents. So with that, I honestly believe, and I'm not a war hawk. I don't want to send my children. I've had a son and daughter in the military. I don't want to send our children out to actually do the globalist fighting, but I'm here to tell you that what is going on in Venezuela and moving communism, I've always believed that the domino theory has been effective, because look, the entire world is now embracing communism. And the old adage was, as one country fell, the next one, and they have changed their face, they have changed the cover, the name, or whatever, but the institutions behind them is the same. It is the Fabian Society. It is the Marxists who are trying to do quiet revolutions rather than these full frontal assault revolutions that we've witnessed in the past. What is going on in Venezuela is literally one of the last stands for, hopefully, the communist movement, that we can actually undo that and start winning in other states, in other places. But I'm just here to tell you that I've talked about this, that it looks like we're heading into a military conflict. I believe also, and I've said this a lot, that I believe also we will be having a military conflict with China soon, because China is full steam ahead in engaging America in some military fashion. They've actually come out and said that they think sinking a couple of our aircraft carriers might be, you know, the one thing that'll actually make us fall, because we are too afraid to fight anymore. They're actually taking this type of a very aggressive actions because they don't believe we have the backbone anymore. Do you see the harm in putting weak presidents in the White House? This is the outcome of having President Obama in the White House. But you know what? We're going to talk a little bit more about Obama in the White House in just a few minutes. But let me get on moving on and start by saying that it appears that social justice on this next topic, it appears that social justice has taken over Circus Maximus. What is Circus Maximus? I've told you back in March when it all kicked off that this whole Democratic if you want to call it, campaign presidency run, and everybody out for themselves, and this huge, cluster that all these candidates are coming in. It seems like the social justice has literally taken over, and that there is a real good chance that the Democrats may produce a rabid socialist as their candidate coming out of the Democratic National Convention. And I believe that's in March, and they're doing it really early to give them a jump on their campaign and message. You got to remember, historically, these conventions have been done very, midsummer or late. I think the Republican convention is usually done in like August or July. And I think last year, just go back and look. This is the first time it has been that early in the year where the primaries are going to be forced to be done throughout the United States very early in the year. Why are they doing this? Because they know if you don't have a lot of time to campaign and you don't have a lot of time to get the message, they can actually pull off shenanigans in these races. They believe that they will be able, and this is what I always see, and this is how it works at a local level. They'll have, the Democrat and the Republican in a race, or they'll have in the primary a challenger that comes forward to unseat the moderate Democrat, these radicals. And this is how they got Oso the communist in. This is how they got Omar and all of these other radical communist, radical Islamists into Congress. So what they did was they waited, and they always dropped the little bomb the last couple of weeks before against their opponent, play really dirty tactics. That is a salacious lie or what have you. And I've seen this happen all the time. They'll throw it out there, and there's not enough time because everybody just believes the salacious lie. There's not enough time for the opponent to do enough damage control to get back into the position that they had just had in leading, and they end up losing. And so when you have an early campaign, then it gives you those advantages of actually not allowing anybody to get the real footing. And so they don't even have to have big salacious lies. They just have to have a believable enough lie to drop on their opponents. And that's how they're winning. They're winning with lies, deceit, and dirty tactics. You have to recognize this. And so there is, to me, it seems like this is more of an indictment than anything else, that I just believe that they're going to be pushing forward this rabid socialist agenda, and that's what they want to do. Now, so here's the question. Is this being done to support a Trump re-election, or is this a real indictment on the Communist Party, or what I should say, the Labor Party, or what we know as the Democratic Party? Which is it? Are they doing this to actually help take the wind out of the rabid socialists, to see that they lose in a grand failure against Trump, but they still win a lot of blue seats throughout Congress? And because I've been telling you that every year there's 4 more million kids getting into the rolls of the votership. And that is not boding well for the conservatives and the constitutionalists. And you're going to find that in 2020, there'll probably be more House seats lost towards blue or Democratic candidates, and you'll probably find that there's another little blue wave. By 2024, there will be enough Democratic rabid foaming-at-the-mouth voters that they will be able to unleash and exact their justice, and believe me, they are going to exact their justice against all of us. Remember how the conservatives made fun of, the people that were crying because Hillary lost? They're going to be coming after those people. They are ruthless, and they hold no hostages. The ends justify the means, as I've always said. So anyway, that's just something to think about, because it really seems like the We Too movement and all of this social justice that is just firing this barrage out to through the mainstream media and so forth. It just seems like that's the direction they're going. I want to jump into the New Mexico militia because it seems like that kind of got into the news and it has kind of died out. Well, it really hasn't died out. And it seems like there is a lot of backstories to this whole thing going on. Now, I think I reported this before, or at least I told you this before, that the New Mexican governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, lashed out at the members of the militia group who were stopping the migrants at the border, declaring regular citizens have no authority to arrest or detain anyone. Well, so I have a problem with that. And it is that comment, regular citizens. So we're going to get into the constitutional side of this because you know we can when we get back. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so here's the problem. Governor Grisham is violating the Constitution, first off, by not holding the Constitution or supporting the Constitution with the fact that she has no ability to allow people to come into her state. She should be holding the federal government responsible for protecting her from this invasion. These aren't migrants. This isn't something like, you know, ducks that fly over that are on their way to a different land because they're in a migration cycle. There is no such thing as migration cycles of people. We do not recognize that. We have borders, we have citizenship, and so forth. We have laws, and therefore she is violating the Constitution on that premise. Secondly, she does not recognize the constitutionality of the militia. This is not a civilian role. These people are constitutionally established. These people are a part of our national defense. It is their job to actually protect the state of New Mexico as well as the rest of the states, because they're the border state, from an invasion. So here's the other issue, and I'll get into this, you know, piece by piece. But let me first tell you this, that a Border Patrol was commenting and stated this. Interference by civilians in law enforcement matters could have public safety and legal consequences for all parties involved. Another problem with the fact that this Border Patrol, whomever, probably a leader, made this statement because, again, these are not civilians. These are state force, constitutional forces that the federal government has the ability to call up. They did not amend the Constitution. Just because they've been ignoring this for well over a century does not make it any less egregious. They are violating the Constitution, and obviously the Border Patrol doesn't acknowledge the fact that this is a legitimate constitutional force. Even the state governor is ignoring that fact. So what I really believe and what I would like to see happen is I would like to see Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, every red state in the Union actually sue the New Mexican governor for failing to do her constitutional duty in deploying her militia on that border to supporting the federal laws as well as the Border Patrol, because the Border Patrol is a constitutional role, responsibility, and power. And all of these red states need to sue the federal government because this is a part of the Constitution that the militia should be called in stopping an invasion. Article 4, I go over this a lot here. Article 4, Section 4, the Guarantee Clause guarantees that the states would be protected from invasions and that the state legislators should be able to call out. And so it's not even the governor's call. The state legislators should be calling out this. Now, if all of the states want to disband the militia, the first thing they have to do is they have to amend the Constitution. So good luck with that. It takes 38 states to get on board, and I don't think there's enough red states that would be willing to surrender that constitutional authority and power that they should be maintaining. To be very clear, they should be maintaining that. So What I would just suggest is that, again, I believe the red states should be suing New Mexico as well as the rest of these border states, Arizona, as well as California, for not deploying their militia in supporting and stopping this invasion. You want to start bringing light to the constitutionality of things. This is how you have to do it. As well as they need to go after the federal government on these issues as well. Now, another thing I told you just, I think it was yesterday, that another issue I wanted to get into in the future was these due fires in California. So, and I've talked about Google suppressing and filtering significantly the information regarding searches for political purposes. They are a filter for the globalist agenda. So open up a Google window and open up a DuckDuckGo window and search for this very specific criteria. DEW, you can use all caps because that stands for direct energy weapons, and then space fires, space California. That's all you got to look for. DEW's fires California. And if you go and execute that search in Google and in DuckDuckGo, you will find a lot of information supporting this theory that DEW weapons have been used in California in the past couple of years in initiating some of the fires. If you go to Google, they are pointing you to sites refuting this conspiracy theory. You cannot tell me that what you are witnessing is not directed intervention and filtering in trying to create a propaganda and or a narrative that gets you to think a certain way. Now, what I will ask you to do, because I want to bring this up, is you need to go look at some of the images of the fires and go down both of these paths, go down both of these rat holes. You tell me why we're actually seeing fires in California and maybe some other places. I don't know, but I definitely know that in Southern California, some of these urban areas that were destroyed, Paradise and some of these other areas, you'll actually see the strangest fire scars that you've ever seen. Because it seems like only the buildings burned in this forest fire, and the forests were just a little bit singed from all of that. So it makes you think, what the heck's going on? I've never seen fires like that. And what I would actually recommend is that you compare these forest fires from other forest fires and how they've ravaged countrysides, and how these dew weapons have literally killed and or taken out urban areas. It should make you think, and it makes me think, why is it that this is occurring? Who's behind this? And why are they not being held accountable for the damages and the destruction and possibly the deaths that they have caused? If this actually, and to me, the evidence is pretty overwhelming. I believe this is happening. And if this is happening, I believe that we need to be looking at a full investigation and going after the globalists and anybody and everybody that is driving these things in happening. That's it. What we need to do, and I will put it to you to go look at the evidence. Go look at these fire scars that you can clearly see in imagery and that you can see in videos. And you tell me why these fires are so unlike a normal forest fire that would just sweep through the countryside. Just posing that out there. Another little story that we need to kind of cover is the Electoral College. This changing, or actually ignoring of the Constitution by these blue states and accepting a popular vote instead of following the Constitution is very alarming. What they're doing is now everybody is going down this path. And I told you that they're trying to marginalize the U.S. Constitution. And what they are doing is pushing that paradigm so that in the next 5-10 years, it will be just, you know, it'll be it is a natural course that we will just discard the Constitution because nobody thinks it's necessary anymore. And if that doesn't alarm you, then I don't know what will. But what is happening with all of these states that are stepping up saying we want to surrender our Electoral College, then what we're seeing is an ignoring of the Constitution. So what should happen is every red state that actually is witnessing these things happening in these states trying to do this, they should sue and use every option available. Some of those options should be petitioning to the Senate. At this point, they should be actually going to the Federal Election Commission as well as the Department of Justice. They should take this into the courthouses. Every state needs to be going after all of these states that are willingly signing and creating a compact. This is a compact. This is a contract that these states are doing in violation of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, where states aren't supposed to be able to do this. They're constrained from being able to go into compacts with each other. And secondly, this is an absolute violation of Article 2 of the Constitution, as well as the 12th Amendment. Now, the fact is, and if the red states were smart, they would go down this path of forcing the 12th Amendment and saying, where is it that this has been allowed? We have deviated from the Electoral College. We need to get back to that. Because if they did this, then they would be able to get rid of the party primaries. They would be able to get rid of these tying the hands, winner takes all type of things, and get back to truly electing electoral colleges in representing those seats in Congress. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, the Electoral College is assigned by how many seats you have in Congress. If you have one representative, then you get one Electoral College vote for that person. And if you have two senators, you get two. So some states have three. Based on the footprint within Congress, that's how many Electoral College votes you get. Now, this also bodes into a lot of other problems, so we'll have to cover that when we come back. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so here's a problem because of what's going on with the Electoral College. Because, one, we're not following it. And in 1980, Carter and his administration wiped out the asking of citizenship from the census. And from 1980 on, because the census were actually requesting people, whether, you know, because the whole point of the census is to count how many people live in each state. If they're no longer asking, are you an illegal, then everybody is counted as a citizen because non-citizens do not rate representation. Fact of the matter is, if the argument goes to the Supreme Court, because this is going before the Supreme Court right now in the 2020, because some states are suing Trump because he wants to ask the citizenship question again. And some states are suing him saying, you can't do that. That's not fair. Well, if a non-citizen is entitled to representation, then why can't China sue America because they want equal representation? Why can't Russia and every other country? Because why do they have to be here anymore? They're citizens, they're alive, and they have civil rights, don't they? That the Constitution protects anybody and everybody. They have gone that wild and crazy down these paths. So my point again is this, that in 1980, Carter removed the asking of the citizenship, and that started shifting representation to states that had illegal aliens. California currently has 10, if not 20, extra representatives because they have that many illegals. If you want to start shifting representation back to where it should be at a bare minimum of representing citizens, then we need to start asking about citizenship. And you're going to find that in the 2020 election, the outcome, if they can ask the citizenship question, the outcome will be that California will lose a lot of representation, and that will be redistributed. Because now that we know what the real truth of the American population is, Who knows? The number of citizens per representative may actually go down, and that representation may be actually redistributed out to more red states, which will give the red states a greater presence in the Electoral College, which would again shift and hopefully secure maybe the 2024 election. That is big, because we know that all of these rabid kids and illegal aliens that are voting in these blue states may be for naught, if you understand what I'm saying. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to get into, and I hope I have all the time to cover this, because this is important. It has not been reported very clearly, but I know that this has come out from Judicial Watch. Maybe Fox has covered this. I'm not a Fox guru, and so I can't tell you. Maybe you can. But there have been links to Obama and his administration in knowing about Hillary's email server and her dossier. And I'm here to tell you that it looks like we actually have real charges and an indictment coming on good old Barry. And so let me, I had to think about that. You know, I'm bad with names. So let me kind of get into this. In 2015, President Obama told America he only learned that his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was illegally using a private email server to conduct public business after the New York Times published a story saying so. In June 2018, the release of a Department of Justice Inspector General, an IG report, showed that Obama was lying. How do we know this? Okay, so first let me say this. If lying to Congress and lying to the FBI is a crime, then lying to the U.S. government should be punished, and should be punished with with extreme prejudice. Who is the U.S. government? It is not the federal government. If we are a people for and by the people of the sovereign states, then when you lie to both the citizens and the states, which is the U.S. government, right? Then I believe, so in other words, when the government or a government representative gets up in front of a news press conference and they say the world is going to end in 5 years like Al Gore did or whatever he said, or when Obama lies to the people, or when Clinton lied to the people, or that this climate change is real when these public servants get up and lie to the people, and we prove that this was a lie, they should be punished. If they can make it a law that it is illegal to lie to Congress or illegal to lie to the FBI, then when they lie to us, it should be punished with extreme prejudice, far worse than what they do to the people that lie to them. Remember that old Deuteronomy's thing, right? Anyway, this is what the FBI analyst said. FBI analyst and prosecutor number two, who, you know, in this whole IG report, that's how they kind of talked, told us that former President Barack Obama, or Barry, was one of the 13 individuals with whom Clinton had direct contact using her ClintonEmail.com account. The report says in a footnote on page 89, Obama, like other high-level government officials, used a pseudonym for his username on his official government email account. And that's who Hillary was sending the emails to. And they have found the smoking guns. This IG report came out last year. Now, the report also states that FBI Director James Comey knew that Obama had lied. It was in 2015 that Obama had disclaimed knowledge that Clinton used a private server rather than government email addresses. In 2016, while drafting a public statement explaining why the FBI wouldn't prosecute Clinton during her run for the presidency, Comey changed the statement wording to hide that Obama had communicated with Clinton through her private email address. We can't say that, or we will actually implicate the president. Another fact that we all knew is that Anthony Weiner had copies of these emails, but more damning. Judicial Watch announced that on the 23rd of April this year, that Bill Priestap, the assistant director of the FBI's counterintelligence division, admitted in writing and under oath that the FBI found Hillary Clinton's emails in the Obama White House, specifically the executive office of the president. Do you understand what that just said? That he was receiving them and he was getting, but here we have evidence that he lied to the American people. How could this be? He was the most transparent president of all. Man, my friends, he's been the most lying, one of the most corrupt, evil presidents we've ever had. We have to actually go after all of these people. We cannot, I mean, if this was you, if this was an ordinary citizen, they would be thrown in jail with complete punishment of the law. They wouldn't be given any breaks. I know this for a fact. And as a matter of fact, I know that they're going after that militia leader with the fullest vengeance that they possibly can unleash on him. They've gone after him before, and they harass these guys. These guys, if you want to understand, if we actually win with Republic Review, I think America's stories will change dramatically, because I truly believe that when you start looking at what these men in these militias are doing, what these 3%ers and those people are doing as patriots, they are actually taking on the risk of being scrutinized, of being arrested, harassed by the U.S. government for exercising their constitutional authorities and ability to do the things under the Constitution. This is an indictment, my friends. This does not bode well. And this, if you think this is going to get better without action, it is not. Trump, as I've been saying since the day he took office, he's only buying us time. This deep state has not gone anywhere yet. And I don't see Trump dismantling it. People say, oh, well, at least in his second term, he's going to do, you know, he should have done it in his first term to guarantee a second term. I don't understand why I'm seeing these mixes in signals with the Trump administration, but I do know this. He is buying us time. If you don't take action, if you do not move swiftly in getting involved, then, my friends, what we're going to be dealing with will be problematic, because they will set aside the Constitution. It is a matter of time when they marginalize it, and your apathy is our indictment. It's that simple. Now, I just realized I'm running out of time. So one of the things we'll get into tomorrow, because I have not covered, and we'll start this all off tomorrow, is that Trump is moving forward with finally labeling the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. So we're going to get into that and a lot of other things tomorrow. So God bless. I'm G.R. Mobley. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.